From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And it's good to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information is always on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Before we go to your calls today, I want to spend just a few moments talking to Larry Johnston. He is the Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute, as well as Executive Vice President. And we're going to talk for a moment about our strategy in terms of going global. There is a tremendous need for the gospel around the world. I was just with a good friend who talked about going to Iraq and the numerous pastors reading my book, The Apocalypse Code, there, translated into Arabic. And with the gospel has come great numbers of people out of Islam into the Christian world. And we've been seeing this all over the world. Since the 1950s, Christians were a marginalized minority in Africa, but now there's a resurgence of Christianity. Latin American revival began sometime in the 70s. Huge numbers of people have turned to Christ. In Asia, particularly in the 20th century, an open door for the gospel, and some say as many as 100 million or more people who now take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. I could go on with the statistics, but the point is, there is an open door for the gospel. That's the good side of the equation. The global South is burgeoning when it comes to Christianity, but there's a bad side to the equation, and that bad side is that for the most part, many new Christians are just one unanswered prayer away from reverting back to animism or Buddhism or ancestor worship or some other cultic construct. And this is one of the reasons that we have, as an institute, embarked upon a going global initiative. We believe with all our hearts that we stand on the threshold of global tipping points, where faith-filled believers led by the Spirit of God can alter the trajectory of human history. No one is more passionate about that than Dr. Larry Johnston. Again, he is our Chief Advancement Officer. Good to have you on the broadcast, Larry.
Great to be here, Hank.
Talk a little bit about why the Global South in particular is so important to a going global strategy.
Well, you mentioned briefly some statistics regarding the growth of Christianity, but few people, and unless they're church growth strategists or missionaries or specialists, looking at some of these numbers, really would not have a sense of the staggering growth that has taken place. For example, over the last 100 years, the number of Christians in the world has nearly quadrupled. Now, if you think of that in the scope of human history, If you were to graph that out, that looks like a hockey puck. It looks like for years and years and years it was relatively flat, modest growth, and then all of a sudden it starts to go vertical. So that back in 1910, there were about 600 million Christians. That has skyrocketed in the last 100 years to over 2 billion Christians, with most of that growth taking place in the global south. The problem that we have recognized and that we want to address is that due to a lack of training and teaching and resources, many of these Christians could be called tumbleweed Christians. They're earnest, but there is simply no root structure. So when predatory prosperity preachers come by or the cults come by, they're simply easy pickings.
We're talking about two things happening almost simultaneously. You have a great evangelical recession in the West, and we have to address that in the same way we're addressing things in the global South. Apologetics, biblical literacy, countering the cults, discipleship. I mean, all of this is critical in the age in which we live, and we're called to be a part of that.
Well, we are, and while the ABCs is a great rubric of sorts for people to be thinking of, those are not independent, unrelated silos. Those three key letters, apologetics, biblical literacy, countering the cults, really form a interdependent cluster of sorts, and as you and I discovered when we were in Thailand, the needs, especially in China, vary fairly dramatically based on the province that you're in. In other words, in some provinces, apologetics is not really an issue. The absolute priority is biblical literacy. In other provinces, it's less biblical literacy. It's the need to be able to counter the cults. But regardless of how you slice it, it is unquestionably the case throughout the global South that a major initiative around those ABCs is needed.
I think something else that's important to discuss, Larry, is the fact that doors open and doors close. We remember vividly when the door in Russia opened wide, or the former Soviet Union to be more expansive. We also remember when the doors opened in China, but now you have a situation where the president is anti-Western culture, he's anti-corruption, but he's also anti-cult, and for him that means anything that is not part of the registered church. So it's possible, we don't know the future, that a wide open door could be closing. And I think that means all the more that we need to take advantage of the present circumstance and situation.
Well, I agree completely. We need to have here in the West a sense of urgency as Christians that parallels the sense of urgency being experienced by many of the Christians in China. In all of our conversations and our dialogue with colleagues there, there is an acute sense of urgency. There's a recognition that trying to read what's going on politically within the country is a bit like reading tea leaves. But because of this new assertion by Xi Jinping around the three antis that you mentioned, there's a sense in which not knowing how long the door will remain open means that whatever we need to be about, we need to be about quickly.
There are a couple of things that people can do, Larry. One is pray. The other is provide the resources that are so necessary for the Christian Research Institute to strengthen its stakes first in the West so that we can be a vital, vibrant change agent in the global South.
Well, and it's important that people understand that yes, we certainly need them to pray. You've heard me many times cite the quote that prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. We need people to be bathing the Going Global initiative in prayer. We also need people to be giving as generously as they can, but I would also encourage them to tell others. If people understand how vitally important apologetics is here in the United States, magnify that by some multiple, and you would have a glimpse of how critical this Going Global initiative is in the Global South.
We're talking to Dr. Larry Johnson. He's Executive Vice President, Chief Advancement Officer for the Christian Research Institute. And Larry, as we talk about the Going Global initiative, we're not talking about something that's a dream somewhere off in the future. It's something that we have already initiated.
Well, we have initiated it not only through some fairly intensive dialogue and on-site research, in-depth interviews, focus groups with the key leaders both in Asia and in Mexico, but probably within a matter of a couple of weeks, the first CRI materials that have been translated into Mandarin will be field tested in churches in China. So this is not some kind of a spray and pray initiative. Let's just take a bunch of materials and throw at people. We are grounding this initiative not only in some very sound strategic principles, but also adapting all of the work to the situation on the ground there as defined by our partners there.
One of the things we're making available to those who are standing shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach is a book titled Pray for the World. It's a resource produced by Operation World. And talk a little bit about what someone will see when they get this book, because this is an unusual book. It's not one which you read from cover to cover, but you can flip through this book and there's something interesting on every single page.
Well, it's great as a prayer guide, because without needing to read volumes of information on a given country, one can go to specific countries and get detailed insights on what circumstances are within those countries that they can use to pray for on a regular basis.
I'm just flipping through the book right now as we speak, and I see Myanmar, formerly Burma. I was there not long ago, spending time equipping Christians there. There's so much interest in this area of the world at this particular point in time. But as you look through this, you get a sense of what their history is, what they're facing, and as a result of that, you can pray in a very intelligent fashion. By the way, when I was there, one of the things, you get out of the major cities, I mean, it is a fourth world country. There's no question about it, but when you say that, it's not all that different from where South Korea was 40, 50 years ago.
Well, and I think one of the things that we need to be mindful of is how rapidly, in fact, almost how mind-numbing the rapidity of change is in some areas of the country. We are seeing more change taking place in the last, say, 50 years, arguably, than we have seen over the last several thousand years. What that means is that the foundations of people's identity, their questions about the meaning of life, their openness to knowing more about God, the movement of the Spirit is such that the more that we can see people praying to lay the groundwork for what will start to take place when we actually have our equipping boots on the ground, that is going to be huge.
And again, it's a 10-year Going Global initiative, and we'll be talking more about it as the month progresses. The book, it's titled Pray for the World. You can get your copy for your support at the Christian Research Institute on the web at equip.org, or you can write me As always, at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Larry, thanks for the information, and thanks for all you're doing with the Going Global initiative. It's making a difference not only for time, but also for eternity.
It's a joy. We have much to do.
And we'll be talking to Larry more frequently during the month as we continue our discussion on CRI's Going Global initiative. Again, you can give, you can pray. All of that is something that you can participate in right now as we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. With a good friend yesterday who is on the verge of death, quite frankly, unless there's a substantial miracle, that's the only thing that can prolong his life. He has had a fruitful life and will give a good report at the judgment seat of Christ. And this is something that we all pray for, that God would make us those who have invested not just in time, but in eternity. Be right back.
Prayer is the fuel of global missions, and Christians can change the world through prayer. The book Pray for the World is a new tool meant to mobilize immeasurably more prayer among Christians. It utilizes the latest research to help direct Christian prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide?, Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Mandarin, Spanish, and English are the world's three mega languages. Yet very few resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults are available in Mandarin and Spanish. CRI's Going Global initiative seeks to provide millions of Christians with these much-needed resources in their native languages. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Janet listening in St. Joseph, Missouri, KCCV. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I have a situation with a friend of mine who has asked me to explain to her what exactly happens on Judgment Day, and I don't know how to tell her. She had this question after her mother's funeral because she herself was brought up Catholic and her mother was brought up Baptist, and she doesn't understand the difference in the denominational explanations. And I don't know how to help her with that because I'm not fully understanding it myself, and I don't want to guide her in the wrong direction.
Well, I don't think it's particularly complicated, and you can look at passages like Revelation 20 to give a little bit of a glimpse of what is going to happen. When Jesus appears a second time, the problem of Satan and sin will forever be resolved, and we will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But not only we, all who have lived will be resurrected. I quoted that passage earlier, but Jesus says, don't be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. And this is essentially what is going on when John sees a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire, or the lake of burning sulfur, or blackest darkness forever, all of these metaphors pointing to forever being separated from the goodness, the grace, and the glory of God. So we're going to be judged. There's a judgment in the sense of a separation of the sheep and the goats, as Jesus explained. But there's also then a judgment that takes place for the sheep and for the goats, which is to say, on the side of the damned, not all judgments are going to be similar. It will be more tolerable for some than for others. Why? Because there are degrees of punishment in hell, just as there are degrees of reward in heaven. And by the way, that ought to make all of us think very carefully and clearly about the life that we are even now living. The question being, am I laying up for myself treasure in heaven, or simply consuming my treasure upon my own lust? Because whatever you consume upon your own lust is transitory. It is transient. It is temporary. But that which is laid up in heaven is eternal. And that's why Jesus said, don't labor for that which perishes, but rather labor for that which is eternal.
Okay, so what would you explain as a reward in heaven so that I could explain this to her?
Yeah, rewards are interesting because rewards are crowns, typically as they are described in Scripture, which is to say there are different kinds of crowns, and those crowns are then thrown at the feet of the Lord. But what the rewards those crowns represent actually mean is enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. And maybe by way of analogy, the capacity for enjoying music is greatly enhanced when you master a musical instrument. And in the same way, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity. Remember, we're not all going to be clones of one another in eternity. We'll all be fulfilled. We'll learn and grow and develop without error, but we'll have different stations, we'll have different gifts, etc. So again, the rewards are enhanced responsibilities or enlarged responsibilities and enhanced spiritual capacities.
Okay. Is this also explained in your book?
There's two places, there's two places I explain this. One is in a book called Resurrection, but in the newest book, which is out in bookstores now, Afterlife, I explain this as well.
Right, okay. All right, well, that helps me a lot. I appreciate your time.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Daryl next. He's listening in Illinois on Butt Radio. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, how are you doing? I'm a new Christian, and I've been reading the Bible a little bit, and it talks about lukewarm Christians. And I feel that I am a lukewarm Christian, and if I would die now, would I be judged and sinned and condemned for being a lukewarm Christian?
Well, I mean, there's certainly consequences to being lukewarm. I mean, think about what the Lord says about being lukewarm. Now, I would argue when he's talking to the church at Laodicea that he's talking about people who are not believers at all. They have a form of faith, but not the reality of faith. But the words of the Amen, the words of the faithful and true witness referring to Jesus Christ, also the ruler of God's creation, is, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Again, why? Jesus explains, because you say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need anything, but you do not realize that in actuality you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And therefore, says Jesus, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become truly rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. And then Jesus points out, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest, repent. And so if you're lukewarm, what you want to do is be earnest and you want to repent and become one who is hot and not one who is lukewarm, one who deeply and passionately cares about the precepts and principles of the kingdom. Why? Because we are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, not secret agents, but ambassadors who are communicating the will and the word of God to a lost and searching generation. Why is it that we're going through a great evangelical meltdown? I think in part it is because we have become lukewarm. We're more concerned about our own health, our own wealth, our own altars, our own churches, and we're at ease while the world perishes. And if we are genuinely Christians, we should ask for God to turn up the fire, because in the cauldron of persecution in the difficult times, we come to a true valuation of things and then are poured out in new and better fashion, which means that what is once cold, what is lukewarm, becomes boiling hot because we deeply care about being ambassadors for Christ.
I helped out a lot.
You got it. I love what Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. I'll eat with him and he with me." That's talking about intimate fellowship, nothing greater than having intimate fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to him who overcomes, then Jesus says, "I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I think about the seven letters to the seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. There are examples of faithfulness among those churches, but there are also examples of great apostasy. And I think as a result of those letters, which were written to churches in a first century epoch, the ramifications and the significance of those letters continues on to this very day. And so we take the warnings that were given to those churches seriously in our time as well. Back to the phone line, Jesus, he's listening in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about Radio High.
Hello, Hank. Appreciate your stand for truth. Been listening to you for many years.
Oh, bless you.
The multi-site concept when it comes to church ecclesiology, is that biblical?
Well, I think what's important is not the configuration of a church. What's important is that the mission of the church is being accomplished, which is to say that the church is faithfully worshiping God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word, that the church is faithfully administering the sacraments, including most specifically the sacrament of the Eucharist or the Lord's table or communion, so that grace might be imparted to the soul of the believer, enabling the believer to live not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. That the church is fostering oneness, that when you join a local fellowship, you recognize that you are knit together in the bonds of love, that this is not about simply going to a service, getting a liver quiver, going home, and continuing on as though nothing happened. No, what happens is we are inextricably woven together, each one having its own function within that assembly. You can't do that as rugged individualists that come for a quick dose and then leave again. It only happens through the community, the fellowship of the body. And that is explained by the Apostle Paul in very significant ways in Romans chapter 12. And then the church is designed to equip believers to go out and communicate what we believe, why we believe it, and in whom we have believed. And I think in many churches, what we have now is personality cults. People are coming to listen to a star speaker. They're gathering around that speaker, and they're getting a little bit of a high out of that, ultimately a high that doesn't last that long, as opposed to recognizing the centrality of Christ, the centrality of the body of Christ, and the centrality of being disciple makers who are commissioned to go out into all the world and developing, reproducing disciple makers. So I think the real issue is the church, a healthy, well-balanced church, requires answering the question, are they in fact doing what the church was designed to do? Be right back.
Mandarin, Spanish, and English are the world's three mega languages. Yet very few resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults are available in Mandarin and Spanish. CRI's Going Global initiative seeks to provide millions of Christians with these much-needed resources in their native languages. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. A dolphin's biosonar permits it to distinguish the difference between a golf ball and a ping pong ball based solely on its density. In fact, dolphins can see inside things. What's more, a dolphin can detect a BB at the bottom of a swimming pool blindfolded. To think a dolphin's echolocation system simply arose from purposeless processes rooted in blind chance is nothing short of preposterous. Learn more about how the biological wonders in Earth's underwater realm reflect the highest levels of purpose and design in Living Waters, the latest film in Illustra Media's The Design of Life series. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Did God really command genocide in the Old Testament? Would a kind and loving God ever command the wholesale slaughter of nations? We often avoid reading difficult Old Testament passages that make us squeamish and quickly jump to the enemy-loving, forgiving Jesus of the New Testament. And yet, the question remains. In their book, Did God Really Command Genocide? Doctors Paul Copan and Matthew Flanagan tackle some of the most confusing and uncomfortable passages of Scripture. Together, they help the Christian and non-believer alike understand the implications of Old Testament warfare passages, as well as address the arguments of atheists who use divine violence in the Bible to undermine belief in God. Call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches and receive Did God Really Command Genocide? Go online at equip.org. CRI's Going Global initiative will equip Christians in the Global South, including Asia, Africa, Latin America, and Oceania. The Going Global initiative will provide materials on apologetics, biblical literacy, and cults, all in their native language, Mandarin and Spanish in particular. As a thank you for your prayerful and strategic gift today, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Pray for the World. It's a wonderful resource for changing the world through prayer, and one we'll be using at CRI to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'll be speaking at the Spiritual Life Conference in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I'm very close to where we are right now, or relatively close. If you want more information, you can call 803-327-2009. I'm pretty sure that number is up on the web as well. at equip.org. Remember, there is a limited seating. Registration is required. Again, I'll be speaking from 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. At least that's the length of the event. I'll not only be giving a message on Islam, but also, in addition to that, be answering questions live, all of that happening September 20th. Mark it down on your calendar. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chad. He's listening in Salem, Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chad.
Hello, Mr. Handgraf. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah, my question is specifically, you know, the Great Commission is to go out and make disciples of all nations, according to the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm just wondering, as a Christian, you know, how do I witness and preach the gospel to whom we call the enemy in this world, you know, like the Far East and places like that? How do I go about preaching the gospel and witnessing to those people?
Well, I mean, I don't think you want to see them as the enemy. When I was in Iran, I was there a few years ago during the height of the tensions between the U.S. and Iran, and I spoke at the University of Tehran and their sociology university, Alamat Betaba. I didn't look at the people there as my enemies. They're real flesh and blood people. I saw them as people that could receive Christ and have the same transformation I had when Christ took over my life. And so I don't see them as enemies. I see them as people that can be changed, and when their hearts are changed, their behavior is changed, and they have the life of Christ within. I mean, you think about what happened in the early Christian church. It grew up in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, where you are commanded to say Caesar is not only Savior, but Caesar is Lord. And in the midst of that Caesar cult, Christians were persecuted, they were killed, they were vilified in the most unbelievable ways, and yet they witnessed and testified to the point of shedding their own blood. They didn't see people as their enemies, they saw people as a mission field on their doorstep. And I think that's the same attitude that we ought to have.
Okay, I mean, I understand that. Thank you. But more specifically, you know, the United States, you know, I should say the unbelieving world, the people who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have a way of dealing with the enemy, you know, by military force, killing, and you know, the ways of the devil, kill, steal, and destroy. But now, as a Christian, you know, we are not to kill, steal, or destroy. We are to love and forgive our neighbor. Is that true?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that you have to make a distinction, and this is not a semantical distinction, but a real distinction, between killing and murdering. There is such a thing as killing someone in a justified sense. This is something that the police have to do for the sake of civil obedience and having a civilization or a country run according to law and order. There's also such a thing as just war. When we were involved in the Second World War, that was a just war. People were being exterminated based on very bad philosophies, and so we were involved as a nation in rooting out an evil empire, Nazism. So I think it's important that we recognize that there is a real a warrant for just war theory, but a just war has to be fought justly. So, as I've said many times,
I suppose you're going to quote Romans 13 to me, and you know, and I understand what we are to obey the laws of the land, and we are to obey our governors, and you know, and the people that work that run the country. I understand that. I have no problem paying my taxes. I have no problem obeying the speed limit and what have you. But if the military or if my government tells me that, Chad, you need to go, I'm going to put a gun in your hand and you need to go to war, well, I won't do it because I don't believe that killing is in the will of God. my Bible says that God desires all men to come to repentance and to be saved. And if a person dies without Jesus Christ in their heart, the devil has got his soul. And that is not the will of God. The will of God is for all of men to be saved. And killing is wrong. And that's the way I see it.
Sure. And when you say my Bible says, I mean, I don't think your Bible's different than my Bible. It may be that you don't read the entirety of your Bible or presume that I'm going to do something that I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to refer to Romans chapter 13, but I was going to refer to other verses in the Bible. Killing in self-defense is approved in Exodus chapter 22. Killing is permitted on the basis of Genesis chapter 6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, God made man. And before Israel became a theocracy, Abraham made war against the valley kings because of their opposition of Lot, and Abraham's war was blessed by God because it was in the defense of innocent blood. So there are many places that you can go to in your Bible that would say the same thing that my Bible says. When Paul's life was threatened, he accepted the protection of a Roman army, and thus Paul considered it his right to be protected by the military might against the unjust attempts of terrorists to take his life. So I think that there's a very good precedent in your Bible, as there is in mine, for just war theory. Now, I mean, given that, this is something that we could debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over.
It's a fallen world. It's a fallen world, and war is in the heart of the human race. I mean, the first war was in the Garden of Eden, when Cain became jealous of his brother Abel, and because Abel gave a better sacrifice to God, and then Cain became jealous, and then he killed him. That was the first war, and war has been going on ever since that fatal day in the Garden of Eden, because war is in the heart.
Yeah, but we're talking about true love here as well, and true love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor, and that kind of love sometimes leads to war. And if you look again at what happened during the Second World War, where at least 13 million people were exterminated by a regime that wanted to impose the most horrendous evils on the world, including creating an Uberman, including being involved in eugenics, there was a real just warrant to stop that evil aggressor. And my parents fought in the Dutch resistance movement. So this is something that I have a tremendous amount of passion for. They saw the horrors of what was going on and were willing to protect Jews at the cost of their own life if necessary.
Right. Yeah, but let's lock these people up and preach the gospel to them. Let's put them behind bars and preach Christ and him crucified.
Well, sometimes, it takes some force to put someone behind bars.
Yeah. We got plenty of military. Let's use the military to round all these people up, like ISIS, and these people that, I mean, they definitely need to be under lock and key. Yeah, they need to be in prison, but let's put them in prison, and I'll go there myself and preach the gospel to them, saying that Jesus Christ loves you.
Wonderful, wonderful. And by the way, I think you should be better off referring to it as ISIL, because they're not just the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. They're the Islamic State that wants to control the Levant.
Right. So, because why do people do evil things, Hank? It's because they become demon possessed, right? But demons can be cast out through fasting and prayer. If you and me and the rest of the Christians would pray and fast, these demonic spirits could be cast out of people. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they can be and will be cast out.
Yeah, I think what's really important, and maybe this is at the root of the discussion, what's really, really important is not to impose prejudices on the Scripture, but learn to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. And then you come to a true valuation of things, because the whole goal for all of us as Christians is to follow the principles and the precepts of the King. And that is part and parcel of that is to understand what the King is talking about. But I really appreciate the conversation, Chad, spirited, and appreciate your passion.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I'm a growing Christian, and you know, my desire is to know God better tomorrow than I do today.
I love it. I love it, and I can tell your passion is contagious. But remember, what we have to do is become very, very familiar with the Word of God, and learn. Again, this is one of my passions. It is to teach people how to mine the Bible for all its wealth, because if we don't, we end up becoming those who embrace theories or ideas that can be very counterproductive to the precepts and principles of the King. But thank you so much for your call. Deeply appreciate, again, your passion.
Thank you.
You got it. And I want to mention that when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. And in appreciation for your support, you receive a personalized copy of one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Again, equip.org/donate. I've mentioned this before, but when you become a regular supporter, it's like turbocharging this ministry. It not only strengthens our stakes and lengthens our cords, as it were, in Western regions, but really allows us to pursue the global initiative that God has laid on our hearts. The Christian Research Institute has so much ammunition that we can give to the soldiers who are already in the trenches around the world, and they're crying out for that ammunition. We want to provide the information, the ammunition to them, if you will. And we're asking you to stand with us as we do that in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We're a resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Do remember the book that I mentioned. I can't find it anymore. Oh, here it is. Pray for the World. It's fantastic. I mean, it's mesmerizing, quite frankly, as you flip through it. You find things out about countries you never knew before. It gives you a way, a means by which to pray in an intelligent fashion. Look forward to seeing you all back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we stand in the battle for life and truth.
Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support CRI's Going Global initiative, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Pray for the World. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's Going Global initiative, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. We live in an age of increasingly militant secularism and scientism, an age in which science, reinforced by its stunning successes and unprecedented benefits in our quality of life, is increasingly the arbiter of what constitutes truth. But the question is, do the facts of science really suggest a world governed by blind chance, or do they ultimately point to purpose and design? Living Waters, the latest film by Illustra Media, explores Earth's astonishing underwater realm and shows how it's a realm where biological wonders reflect the highest levels of purpose and design. To receive your copy of Living Waters on DVD as our thank you for your support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.